Okay.
As frankly, as we yeah. were saying, you first yes. came to Berkeley.
First came to Berkeley in 1997. I was 19 years old. I'm originally from Argentina, and I wanted to study English. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I always had a kind of like an obsession with the United States. You know, it was because I grew up watching American films. And so I...
When you came to Berkeley, was that straight from Argentina?
Yes, I was straight from Argentina. I spent here for like 4 months. I came earlier in 1988 with my family to New York. That was my first time I came here. Mm. And then I came back in 97 to learn English, mostly. And I really liked, you know, the town.
How did you... How did you pick Berkeley?
Berkeley. How did I pick Berkeley? What was that? Well, in Argentina, they have a counselor for English studies in the United States, and they told me Berkeley Extension was a good town and was different from everything you know in the United States. It was a good place to, very different from where I am, and that's basically. Yeah.
Hal S O How so is Berkeley different from where you live?
Oh, well, amazing characters. I mean, amazing characters, personalities. I mean, people are just different, you know, and that really, I was so amazed that always, you know, every time I travel, I take my video camera and I kind of like shot this documentary, but I never edited it out. I went out with my camera to Telegraph Avenue, and I, you know, shot homeless people. I remember there was this girl who kind of helped me out, and she was kind of like reporting people in the streets, you know, asking them, you know, what are their goals in life, and you know, some kind of that stuff like that.
Annie. Annie Sprinkle emailed Frank your Jesus Christ the Musical video.
Okay.
That's how we got it. No. I. Introduction. No, I-N. F. No information. I think she said something like, I think you'll like this or something like that, but no warning.
Who sent it? Somebody, a friend?
Annie Sprinkle.
Annie Sprinkle.
Yes. Okay. Do you know who she is?
No.
She's a pretty well-known performance artist who is an ex-porn star.
Okay.
So she got famous as a porn actress in the 70s, I guess. And then somewhere in the 80s, she... really, Frank's performance was the first actual performance she was in New York.
Okay.
And Frank said to her, you're going to be a famous performance artist. And she said, oh, no, Frank, I'll always be just a porn star, something like that. And then with, like, less than a year, she was like, you know, everybody knew who Annie Sprinkle, the performance artist, was. So, yeah, so now she's a doctor of sexology. She went to school and became a PhD. And so she sent Frank the video, and you know, so he checked it out, and then he looked, and then he called us, and we all stood there, whoa!
Yeah, it is amazing how quickly it got spread.
You know, is that right?
Yeah. It's very unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I. N. Information on you.
Oh, okay.
So, I. G. O. O. Googled.
Oh, okay. My name. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then showed up on my website, I guess.
And then eventually found you that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
We. C R A crack up Really, still every time we watch it, we show it to people.
I get a lot of emails from people that they said they continuously watch it. Some people, I just got an email from somebody. She says that she watched the video like 6 times, and then her half sister, who is a Jew, saw it. Mm-hmm. He sees like 2 to 4 times a day. You know, and then she told me, she confessed, like, the real reason she watches because for the male body. She was, but I get, very positive emails and very negative emails, of course, for people offended.
How did you F-I-N find me, him, the guy who plays Jesus?
Oh.
How did you find him?
Oh, yeah. He's a very good friend of mine. He's from Argentina, too. And when I came to Los Angeles in 1988, I went to film school. And he was kind of like my main actor in all of my school films. And so that's how, and I didn't even cast it. I mean, I knew that he fitted perfectly. Before we shot, I kind of like, I did a test, and I just took a picture of him, and in Photoshop, I added the beard. And he said, okay, that's it. That's Jesus.
G, great, E, D, editing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
the editing. Well, that was good. I kind of like, I usually edit my own work. I storyboard everything. In this particular case, the original shot was the character of Jesus, walking in the streets straightforward until he gets hit by the bus. I didn't expect it to do all this inner cutting between he was walking. That's what it is all the different shots, all different takes that I got on that day, and I kind of like put it together. I got the best shots of reactions of people, and I put it together, and it worked perfect.
That is the K. The key, those reaction shots.
Yes. Yeah, the reaction shots. Yeah. What is the reaction shot that you like most?
When he VBU bumps into
the camera guy, right?
Yes. The camera guy, when he bumps into the camera guy, is that who it is? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Shrek.
How? What?
Shrek.
Shrek and the girl with the snake. That was real. Most of the reactions are real.
Yes. I do that too. Just use the stuff that happens when we're shooting it. The real reactions.
Oh, yes.
Keep that stuff and use it.
Yes. And then, of course, I walk to them. I say, excuse me. I get it. I just did a video. You were on a camera. Can I have permission to use your video? And of course, they said yes.
I don't do that. Frank, on the other hand, is notorious for not getting release forms from people.
Okay.
He doesn't do it.
Okay. Well, it's okay too. Yeah. You know, it's guerrilla style. That's what it is, and you can get a lot done.
Yes.
I don't know if I can talk to you more about the process of probably shooting this. How we shot it.
Yes.
You know,
Yes.
Okay.
When? They? T? When they watch? This? Oh, on Berkeley's public access, they'll have seen this. They'll have seen Jesus Christ the Musical and your other work before they see this interview on cable.
All right.
We're actually going to do a whole show of your video the week before this plays.
Okay, great.
So people have seen all your stuff.
Great. Yeah. Great. Let's see. Well, as I was saying, maybe I can talk to some of the shooting. We were actually shot just me, the camera, and two friends of mine. So we started at 8 a.m. in the morning. You know, I picked the actor. I have all this documented. I have all the behind the scenes footage, and I want to put it together in editing later on. So basically, you know, I had my story, I had my locations, and, you know, I just went there and went to locations and started shooting. The shot, for example, that the guy, Jesus, is coming down from the electronic stairwell, you know, the stairs. Mm. That was in the Kodak Theater. And, of course, you know, as soon as I took my camera, a security guard came and said, do you have permit to shoot here? I said, no, what do I mean? I'm a tourist, you know. I don't have a permit. So as soon as he left, of course, you know, we had very short time because we knew we had to do this show like once, and then that was it. So my couple of friends were in a corner behind the restroom, and, you know, Jesus was getting ready, and he took out his, you know, he undressed, you know, and we had a big rope. You know, he covered. So he went out, and I was like, it was kind of like crazy because everything was done. You know, we have a lot of adrenaline, and that's probably when it comes the best things, you know, and all the reaction shots are true, you know, people on the stairwell. Of course, after that, you know, they scolded us to the outside, you know. But then, of course, we kept shooting all the other shots. And also, it was funny because right in front of the Chinese Theater, you know, have all these characters like Shrek and you know, Batman and Superman. Everybody was there. And here was Jesus. So everybody thought that he was not part of of the thing of Hollywood, you know.
Not that far-fetched.
Exactly.
All those people in Jesus.
Yeah. So, you know, and suddenly we were, like, shooting, and then in between we had people, like, taking pictures with Jesus. Can I have a picture with you? Like, it was, like, that's hilarious.
A-U-T-O. Autographs? Was he giving out autographs?
No autographs yet. Maybe in the future, but a lot of photos. Yeah, he was a celebrity. Yeah.
You? J? You? Just? Did? It on 5 on no M O on no money. You
was
just
that?
Did it with no money.
Yes, no money.
No budget.
No budget at all. Yeah. No. Just time and, you know, friends. Collaborations.
Yeah. A M A S T master. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I heard that too. I say little masterpiece. Yes. They call it. Yeah.
Okay, so we're in front of the Chinese Theater.
Yes, I mean, so for example, okay, the shot where he gets hit by the bus. I of course, you know, that was also one shot. And I was walking back, you know, with my camera, And of course, I noticed, you know, the red light was on. And here I have a real bus on the left side, you know, waiting to go. I go like this. I'm crossing, walking back, going like this and shooting. That was it, you know. And, you know, and the effect, also, I get a lot of people saying, like, oh, my God, I mean, did he really die? I mean, because it looks so real. You know, I feel so sorry for Miguel. And yeah.
G, don't. T, tell them. Don't tell them.
Don't tell them.
Don't
exactly.
Tell them the truth. Don't let them know.
Okay.
One way or the other.
Yeah. Well, eventually, you know, they will find out because I'm...
The sequel.
I was telling to him that I'm doing a sequel. If everything goes well, I'm shooting next week.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And edit it, and I really want to release it on Easter because that's like could be perfect.
Right.
The name of the sequel is gonna be called Jesus Christ the Resurrection. What it's gonna be is I want to do a series of episodes following this video. Of course, you know, this idea came right after what happened with this video and how popular it got. You know, I got so many controversy, you know, people really like, oh my God, this is the best video. I mean, it's so hilarious. And then I have the other side of people like very bad. You know, it's like, oh my God, you're, you know, blasphemy. And, you know,
who don't have any humor, the people who don't have any senses of humor.
Yes, yes. I mean, but I kind of like feel bad, you know, too, because, you know, filmmaker, I don't want to you know, make people angry. I mean, that was like the least expected thing. But again, what I can do, I cannot control what people react. And, you know, I respect, you know, their religion, you know, but again, you know, I'm just a filmmaker and that is my job, you know, to create, you know, a story, to create a story out of reality, to make reality into something satire, something completely out of the ordinary, something bizarre, and that's what creates comedy. You know, it's not like I'm against Jesus Christ. Come on, you know, I'm a Catholic myself. You know,
what? M. A. Makes it. W, what makes it work is you think it is a L O a long S T story. That's part of what makes it work, is you don't realize that it's going to be so short.
Exactly.
And so you're kind of settled in for something that happens. Like, whoa! That's
it. Yeah, story and unexpected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So I was saying regarding the sequel, I don't want, I'm not going to say it too much. What I can say is it's going to be a series of episodes. That it's going to be following up what happens after this tragedy, and how people and the media react to a second coming of Christ. So it's going to be a short film, you know, a comedy short film, you know, telling the story of people reacting to the second coming, and that's all I can say for now. Yeah. Oh, and the website where it's going to be all, the episode is going to be called JesusWillSurvive.com. Uh-huh. That's where all the...
JesusWillSurvive.com. Yeah. I'll write it down. Yeah. We'll make sure to have that linked with this.
Yeah.
JesusWillSurvive.com.
Okay. Yeah.
BTV. Now, by the way, I am thinking that I am thinking there this is my A you audition for a role in one of your videos?
Sure, why not? As a matter of fact, I have a partner you could probably fit in.
What? What's the part?
Well, there's a scene I don't want to say too much. Okay, there's this scene in a hospital, okay, and where there's people, patients in the hospital, and something happens there, and that's all I'm gonna say.
I had to pass pass up a role in, what's it called? GREA Greaser's Palace. It's a movie from the 60s, I think.
Uh-huh.
Greaser's Palace.
Uh-huh.
Made by
Dennis Hopper?
No. What's this guy's father? The R. Robert Downey.
Oh.
Robert Downey Jr.'s father, Robert Downey.
Yeah, yes, of course, he also.
Yes, Greaser's Palace. They were shooting it in Santa Fe, or where Frank lived at the time, and Frank was offered a role in the movie.
Great.
I would have been a crip that the J Jesus F I figure tried to cure but failed. That would have been Frank's part.
Okay. I'll let's think about it. Definitely.
But Frank had already was moving from New Mexico, and so he would have had to stay there and not move to in order to be in it, and he didn't do that.
Oh,
he
okay.
Moved. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. Any other question?
How did you get into filmmaking?
Oh, wow. Okay. Everything began when I was 14. Actually, the first time I came to the United States, I was that age in 1988, and I was with my family in New York, and I remember we went to this electronic store, and I was just looking at these video games, and I was like so into it, and then I turned back and I saw my family on a TV set. I was like, oh my God, what is that? So I walked to them, and then what happened is they were like saying hi in the video, but I looked at them and they were like looking, but they actually were actually moving different. Well, of course, what happened was they recorded them and then they were playing back the tape. And I felt so bad. For me, that was like magic. I was just like, oh my God, how come I wasn't there? And then of course I want to do it again. Hey, come on, Dad. Let's go. Because the guy from the store.
Old were you?
I was 14.
14.
Mm. Yes, 14. So that day we left the store and I was like shocked. I really want to know what was that. I mean, kind of had an idea of what was a video camera, but I didn't know how it worked, you know, and that intrigued me so much that after bugging my dad for like during 3 years to get me a video camera, I got it, and then I never left it. I started like shooting everything around me, you know, and that became my school, basically, until I did it more professionally when I got here, and I did other stuff, doing more studies, but the real learning experience was just, you know, doing videos by myself, and you know, with my friends. I used to call my friends from school and invite them home to make home movies. And of course, we didn't have a script, nothing. We just, you know, we call it these instant films, basically, because we shot a scene and then we sat down on the couch. Okay, what happened next? Okay, you walk over there and you go to the kitchen. Okay, let's shoot. Okay, what happened next? You know, and we made these funny stories along the way. And yeah, that was kind of really exciting. Of course, you know, no editing. Everything was edited on camera. After I knew about editing, I learned how to hook up two VHS recorders and kind of like play back on one.
That's
record
the way Frank
on a
edited
one.
Too. When he first did it, we thought we taped the remote boxes to his board so he could just lined up the two VCRs on a table.
Yeah, but mine was really challenging because my first camera had a playback problem. Mm. After like 10 seconds, the video started shaking. Mm. So what I had to do was stop recording, you know, kind of like, you know, calculate my shooting time to before that flickering happens. Mm. So I have like, okay, count, you know, okay, one, two, three, okay, stop. And then, of course, you know, when you press record on the VCRs, you have to wait like, it takes like 3-4 seconds.
Right.
So I had to calculate all that. You know, that was a good experience, you know, even though it's very...
Used S E D S E D no U oh used the F L I flickering. He would work the flickering into his video.
Oh, okay. Yeah, to create some yes,
special
exactly.
Effects.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Another trick was, you know, to shoot the same where you're recording. You shoot a TV, whatever you put in front of it, it multiplies into infinity, and you get this kind of like cool effect. I used to do that a lot for my titles and stuff.
I and you could not H E A hear. Yeah, well, that was when you did the tracks. When he would try to do tracks. Uh-huh. Was that with the sound stuff that you did? Because he put a soundtrack on top of.
Yeah.
Of it. He edited the video, and then a musician that was working with him set up all of his stuff on a board for Frank to do a soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like a bunch of tracks, but so he'd create a soundtrack on one track, and then he'd start the video from the beginning again to do the second track, but he couldn't hear the first track.
Mm.
So he had all these tracks without hearing any of them, and it actually worked.
Wow.
P played music to the video. Each time he would just create the music based on watching the video.
Okay.
And just hoped that they would all go together.
Wow, it's like backwards. You know, usually it's done the other way, and he did it the other. That's interesting. Yeah. That's great. You know, it's a good way to learn. You know, to start, you know, figuring out things for your own. I think that's the best learning experience, more than just going to the manual or calling your friend, hey, how do you do this?
I G O got shit. Well, when Frank went to for a master's degree, and it was, we thought we were well, it's right, so it was performance video department, and at the time, this was, when was this, in the 80s, People were still using the 3/4 inch.
Yeah.
And so you, as a student, you could check out the equipment, you know, to make movies, and you could use their editing facilities, mm-hmm. but you still had to buy the tapes. And the tapes were like, you know, these 20-minute tapes for like $20-$30 at the time. Mm. And, you know, Frank likes to do long things. Mm. Like, he does 2-hour movies, you know, so we didn't have any money. And so at a certain point, and this was just when home video was just coming in, like where just some people had it.
Yeah.
And because of various things, they were supposed to make the school accessible to Frank, and they didn't. And so he raised a stink. And so they gave him back his tuition for one semester and set him up editing in an accessible space. And we used that money to go to like a Good Guys and buy just a regular old, you know, regular cassette deck, camera and deck and a little television.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody at, this was at the San Francisco Art Institute, they told Frank that he'd never be able to use any of the work that he was shooting on that because it wasn't on 3/4 inch, and it was, he'll never have any use for it.
Mm.
He said, you know, that's what I can afford, because we could afford those tapes,
you know.
And what was funny was, of course, they were wrong.
Yeah.
And years later, when we finished school, one of his fellow students who had given him the most shit about the whole thing was now the curator of film at the Kitchen in New York, and paid Frank to show one of the things that he had shot during that period when he said, you'll never do anything with that work. See? So we were like,
that's right. That's the way to do it. That's great.
Yeah. I L O I love all of your work. Oh, that DVD that you sent us.
Thank you.
Even the T R A training film. Was it one of the commercials, right? No, not a commercial. Was there a training film?
Software perk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the Green Martian, right? The alien.
Oh, yeah. That one. Yeah, yeah, that was good. Yeah.
That was an internal video for a company that I work. Yeah. I did want to do something different for the employees, you know, something that, you know, it's not boring.
Right.
So I did all this crazy story.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
I never sent you the ones, I don't remember, I sent you only one DVD or two?
One DVD, but it had a bunch of stuff on it. It had music videos and commercials.
Yes, I have another one, I forgot to bring it, but I'll send it to you. That has all my early work.
Oh.
All these things that I mentioned when I started out.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Great.
That's also fun.
You. S. N. Sneak. A lot in to your videos, to your movies.
Oh yeah, like you talking about cameos or no?
To cameos or
to get to get things done. That's what you mean.
No, I don't think you mean that. What do you mean, like send me some specific. A specific example, like in the TR in the training video. The CO N D O condominium? No, CONDOM condom is on his H E-A, head, the condom on his head. Frank's the only one with a memory around here. Jeez. The condom on his head.
Oh, you're talking about the training video?
Yes.
A condom? I don't have a condom. He didn't have a condom on his head. I mean, he had a time machine, was a form of a pen, and that was it. Yeah. That was the form of a... You know, it wasn't a the condom. It was kind of like a metal pen that kind of like flew around.
Maybe that's what you're talking. That's what you're calling the condom.
Yeah, right. The condom.
That's
yeah.
what he's calling the condom.
The time machine.
Yeah. Yeah. The time machine, Frank.
Yeah. Time machine, which is yeah. Maybe you can say it's a condom. Sure.
You can say it's a condom.
Yeah.
But there. This was for a C O R corporate
video.
But it's for a corporation.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's an internal video. They just hired me to do something to promote a software, and you know, just create a story to make it more appealing, you know, not boring. Instead of having like a PowerPoint presentation, like here's the software and here's what it can do for you, kind of like, you know, maybe I can.
How?
Yeah.
Did you get that gig? Now, how did you S E sell them on it?
How did you sell them the idea of doing this?
How did you sell them on the idea for how to execute it?
Oh, well, they were pretty like freely, you know, to tell me, you know, they give me the objective. You know, this is like when I do contest videos. You know, they tell you what I need, and I try to find something original and good, and you know, a good idea and original. So they told me, you know, yes, our goal is to not bore our employees. You know, our goal is to present, give all these important points about this new software that's going to be implemented in the company. But we want to show it in a way that is not boring. Okay, so I thought, okay, you know, instead of that, so I did this story about this regular employee who's, you know, who's frustrated with his software. And, you know, this suddenly this green guy appears out of nowhere, and he tells, you know, he comes from the future, and he tells him that, you know, that he's the one who's gonna make the whole company change, and you know, and the importance of change is the software of the company, you know, to have a prosperous future for the company. And he's the chosen one, and he takes him to the future and shows him how the company changed thanks to his persistence to change the software at that time. So during that whole story, basically giving all the key elements of the software, what the software is and what is gonna do for the employees. So basically, I gave all the terms. You know, instead of having it on the board, I witnessed a story, and I have some funny points too.
Yeah. It was W A wacky?
Yeah, it was wacky. So a lot of my stuff is wacky. Anyway,
even A B L O O blooper reel?
Yes, I had at the end of the video, yes, I have some bloopers of that happened during the shot. Yeah. It's funny.
We L O loved the O the old people.
Oh yes.
Concert.
Yeah, that's
live
a
concert.
That's a music video I did for a contest. I think it was 2 years. Yeah, 2 years now. On sponsored by iFilm.com. They hold a lot of contest, for filmmakers. Mm. The goal was to make a music video with one of the Yellow Card songs. So basically, filmmakers had the opportunity to make a music video using that same song. So basically, hundreds of participants did a music video with the same song, and you see all the different approaches. I did this video. What I did was. I don't know if you can show it in the show or not, but
it'll have shown the week before this.
Okay. Should I say what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I did, of course, they bring me with a problem. I try to make something original, something that nobody thought about. So what I did was I casted four members of they look like Yellow Card, the magicians, but they are over 70 years old. And basically, I created this concert that happens in the year 2050. Mm-hmm. For Yellow Card in the future, and you have all this like kind of like Rolling Stones playing the song, mm-hmm. lip syncing in this live concert, and even the fans are old people. That creates
the
funny, funny thing.
How did you find the old people to play in it? They were good. I'm sorry. They were good.
Yeah, I mean, they're all actors. All actors. I think I had like 2 weeks. 2 weeks before I had to turn the zine, before I shot it. And I put a casting call. I used Breakdown Express and Backstage West for most of my casting. And
What are they?
Oh, they are casting services. This is for somebody's doing a project, you put your information of your characters, and then actors and agencies send you a digital photo of the actors, and it's great. And you choose, it's like a online casting, and just choose.
Are these people looking to get paid for their work? Usually?
Well, when yes. Of course, but every time I do these personal projects, I always like to bring crew and actors who are willing, who are looking for to get exposure, experience, and to have more stuff in the reel. Because Hollywood is a town that there's a lot of actors, and unfortunately, what happens is, they have all these actors doing stuff, and you'll be surprised, but over 80% they never get to see what they did, because either the project's not finished or whatever. The directors they don't follow that. But when I do these personal projects for me specifically, I know I have a deadline, so the video's gonna be done yes or yes. So when I say that to the actors, they mostly agree that I promise them, 3 weeks gonna have a tape of it,
right? And so that they take that as payment.
Yes.
Then.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or I do a kind of trade. I kind of edit their demo reel, things like that.
That's great. Yeah. So that's how you got the actors. Through
yes.
That.
Most of my work, but it's not commercial or a job. For doing these contest submissions, I use that. And for my accounting sequel for Jesus, I'm doing exactly the same. I'm going to be shooting in Los Angeles on next Saturday, April 8th and 9th. Is it 8? Yeah. So anybody, I don't know if in LA, who like to be part of the making of this film, they're welcome to throw me a line. They can go to my website and email me, and I'm going to need a lot of people, not only crew but actors as well. So you're welcome to come by and be a part of it.
You have a high LP R O profile. No, P R O D U production value. You have a high production value.
Okay.
Frank thinks is okay. saying that your production value is high.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I tend. That's a trick. You know, you make it cheap and it looks expensive.
Is they L look like M A major F films in terms of the production value?
Yeah, for example, there's a shot in the yellow card scene that I have like an aerial shot of
right
or like hundreds of people.
Yeah,
what I just did, it was so simple. I only had 20 extras on that 20, and I did the old trick. I remember I saw when they did what's this film, Forrest Gump, and I remember that scene where they how they multiply the people on the stadium, and they just moved on different segments, and then they compose it together. So basically, that's what I only I had the people like cheering, 20 people, and then okay, move to the next session, okay, and then I put it all together, and then added like a zoom effect and smoke, and always like, enhance in the editing whatever you shoot to make it look bigger.
It worked.
Yeah.
And F, C, R, A, N, E, crane, shot.
Crane shot?
Yes.
On that specific?
On that one?
No, actually, there was a balcony, so I just shot with my on a tripod. It's cheaper, and you get the effect. Find your ways. Yeah.
P. People think they need a lot of money to do things.
People think they need a lot of money to do things.
Yeah, we run into that a lot where people use the lack of money as an excuse for not doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
And Frank always tells them you don't need money. There are ways to get around that.
I know. Nowadays with the with the video cameras and computers so affordable, I mean, it's just amazing what you can do. I mean, you can have, of course, now what is happening is you have all the tools. People with $3,000, they can have video camera and a fine cat, they can do their own thing. But again, if you don't have, if you're not creative and you don't have a good story, it doesn't matter, if you how good you are technically, again, always falls to the story, right? You have a good story and idea, and that falls out, and again, you don't need a lot of tools, and you don't need a lot of money. You just need to have a good story, be creative, and do what not everybody else is doing.
Like I S shot F fairy tales thinking that we would use that to get money to make the real one. This was like in the 80s because we thought you had to do it at a better level or something. And
yes.
This was a guy with a Super 8 film camera.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true.
But when we showed it around thinking that this is us trying to get money, we showed it to a distributor in San Francisco and they said, oh, we'll carry it the way it is. And we thought, oh,
okay.
Wow.
There you go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens. Happened before and it's happening. Now, instead of film, now it's video. And with the internet, it's just amazing how much exposure can get, and you're finding these videos, not kind of like mine, but even more home videos, and they and they just, you know, they turn it into huge. I mean, everybody just watches, and you know, the technology is just getting into who knows where.
In the 80s. Well, that's when we were making a lot of videos in the 80s, when we first kind of discovered the camera and everything. Uh-huh. And Frank was just cranking them out. We were shooting them. He was editing them at home, you know, with the two remotes.
Yeah.
And they just went in our closet. Mm-hmm. He's like, what do you do with them? There was nothing. You know, there was no place for them. And we didn't know if we'd ever find a place for them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then the internet happens, and all of a sudden we're digging everything out of the closet.
Exactly. Well, that's everybody, is doing a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, public access also for us. Uh-huh. Yeah. We, there is a, at least, one P E person on our website, because we have a lot of videos up, both ours and other people's. There's always at least one person watching something all the time, like all the time, and usually it's more than that.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes we think like, wow, you know, at any point in any day, somebody's watching one of our things.
Yeah. That's true. Really, it's amazing. I mean, kids now is like, you know, I remember, I mean, if you walk into like an internet cafe, you know, we have, you know, teenagers, you know, not only like chatting, but they look in these websites where, you know, like yours, and, you know, websites where they have videos. And very short, like maybe 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes of anything. I mean, it's just, I don't know, the shot of a cat or their dad eating breakfast, whatever, and some videos are funny, you know, and appealing, and you know they like that, and they want like an instant satisfaction. You know, that's what it is. You know, it becoming like a faster generation of instant gratification. That's what it is. And what is internet? What it's doing? You know, and it's funny, but you know. I don't know, you know, I mean, the 80s, when you had a short, I mean, where are you going to show a short? There's no way you can show a short. I mean, maybe film festivals, I don't know. But now, you know, finally there is a distribution for that kind of content. You know, and of course, not only for home movies, but, you know, for shorts. I mean, that's now is the moment to get your short out of the closet and put it on the internet or submit it to contests or film festivals. And it's for sure it's going to get more exposure than regular film festivals.
And really, yes, we tried the film festival thing once.
Yeah.
And it was just like, ugh, you know, I mean, put it on the website. That's where everybody's going to see it.
Yeah, of course.
The film festival.
You know, okay, you said, okay, let's send a video to film festivals. Okay, if you win the award, we get the award. But the award doesn't mean shit. You know, just a statue you put on your, you know, right here hanging. You know, and come on, I mean, what a filmmaker wants is to get exposure, to get people to watch their work. I mean, what is doing the internet is just doing exactly that. But again, still, you know, if you don't have, you know, still have a good story, you need to do that. You know, there's a lot of content, but very little creativity.
And
that's good space for people who has it.
And when we F I S T FIS when we F I when we first P put our videos up on the website about the length. Well, people told us that because, again, most of the stuff that we do is long.
Mm-hmm.
And so people told us that nobody's going to watch something that's an hour long, let alone 2 hours long. But that we have found that that's not true, that people watch them all the way through all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They'll watch a 2-hour video online.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Yeah. I mean, eventually, you know, feature films should be like, you know, they're going to be like that.
Because our feature films, like our two-hour things are on there and they get watched all the time.
Mm-hmm. I say like in a, what's the size of
the
frame?
Real video format.
Okay, but it's like, what's the pixel ratio? It's like 320 by 240 or bigger, even more?
I think 320.
Okay. Yeah. Eventually, when the internet gets faster, it's gonna be full screen. That's what we all expect. You know?
Right.
And the quality and the audio, everything. You know, for now, I think it's okay. I mean, it's good what you say. You know, to watch full length. I personally couldn't watch a full feature on a 3x20. Depends on what you're watching. You know, I prefer just to go rent the DVD or. But by the future, you know, that's I think what where the market is heading.
You. P. A. C. Pack. A. F. R. F. E. A. Feature. G. Film. You pack a feature film in to a short. That was our experience of your stuff. You pack what feels like a feature film into this 5 or 10 minute segment.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what the audience nowadays, they want, internet audience. You know, they want, again, instant satisfaction. The shorter, the better. The fastest, the streaming, the video, the faster download. You know, and they can move on to see other videos.
Oh, that one about the family that moves to the United States. That was really good. That's a 15, to the United States.
Yeah, 15 minute short. That was also for another contest. I actually, one thing that I discovered going back to the road on film festivals, you can do your write your own script, you know, you do your short and you submit it. But why go into that when you have this opportunity to actually win cash prizes on online contests and you actually and actually give you
giving us ideas.
Yes. I mean, come on. You go to Google and Yahoo and iFilm.com. It's excellent. I mean, they always host contests for them.
N. E. I need. No, I-N.
Need money.
I-N-S. I-N-S-T. Instant. I-N-S-T. E. A.
Instead
of P, paying them, which is the case with film festivals.
Exactly.
You know, we have to pay money to even submit your movie.
Yeah, I know. Come on, yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm not against film festivals. It's just you have to pick the good festival that you know, pick the best ones. And then if that doesn't work, you know, yeah, I mean, still you have always a chance to put it online, you know. It depends, you know, what do you want, you know. And in the case of this contest, you know, what I learned is that the fact that they give you a topic, they say, okay, we need do this. That's that. If you take that into a professional world, that's what it is. You know, you have a client. They okay, we need to do this video. This is what it is. Can you give us options? Can we look? And that's where, I mean, people actually can train, participating into this contest. And on top of that, you can get paid if you win and your work is out there. What else do you want? I mean, that's great.
S. You're even. M. I. N. minor. C. H. A. Characters in your movies have D. Depth, like the W, the woman who L I lives, oh, next door to the family. Right. Yeah, yeah. About the kid playing with her kids.
Yeah. Should I mention what is the scene about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Well, it's going back to the main story, it's a story of a family, Argentinian family, who, you know, in 2001, there was this big devaluation of the money, and there's been, you know, the president, they took out the president, and it was a whole mess monetary-wise, and, you know, a lot of people got all their money, what they had in the bank, they basically, the bank took it, you know, people weren't able to take the money, their savings, and they, for example, if you deposit on the bank in dollars, now basically the dollar became 3 Argentinian pesos, so basically their whole deposit became, you know, much less than that. So anyway, what happens to this family is, I'm tired of this, let's move on, and they come to United States, you know, we don't know anybody. So I kind of like utilized, in some extent, my experience when I came here, you know, it's like, you always get parking tickets, you know, you don't speak the language very good, you know, you start doing shitty jobs, you know, like a waiter, you move on in a scale, and... When these people come, you know, they find out that you know, they're lacking something. They lack the affection of their family.
They had lived with an extended, like they lived with one of their parents in Argentina, and they left her.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just the mother, father, and the kid.
Yes. And there's a scene what Frank is describing, is that you know, the son of this family is he has Down syndrome. And actually, that the actor is—he's really an actor. I did a casting of Down syndrome.
Wow!
That was also again a challenge. You know, I always, when I do things, I want to challenge myself. I want to do I want to do this. So you know, they want to go out, and of course, you know, the kid who's his name is Carlitos wants to play with the neighbor's kids, and so the mother goes and knocks on the neighbor's door, and the neighbor is like, this is very American, you know, trashy, kind of like American type. And
see?
Yeah.
Oh. C-O-C. Cock.
Oh, the shirt. Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff you're talking about, him sneaking into his movies.
So you want to create this, not only what is happening, but, you know, subtext is key.
Yeah.
By the way, that means, I think, as they told me, it's a football. They said the name. Because the girl was wearing a shirt that reads cock, but it's not just because it's cock. She told me there's a football team which is cock. I don't know from where.
Yeah.
University football.
She is not the K kind of person who would be into football. No, sorry. Who, that wasn't it. Who you
want to meet?
Would want, give, think, would L E let the kid play with her kids.
I think that's a critic. Maybe, you're right.
And S-T-A, stay, and stay. So you like that. That made her complex. He liked that.
Okay, yeah, the fact that she, you know, that you see a personality.
You wouldn't expect her to do that, yet okay. She did. So that makes her interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Because after, you know, when the mother asks her to, you know, to, if of course, you know, the whole scene happens that she doesn't speak English at all, and they have this, you know, this crazy dialogue between them, and becomes kind of funny. And when she shows him the kid Carlitos, you know, and she turns down and she realizes he has Down syndrome, you know, you see her reaction show where she changes completely. Maybe that's what she's referring. First you see this, you know, this trashy, you know, girl, very annoying, very
distracted. Yeah. She seemed really distracted.
And then when she realized that, kind of like, oh my God, you know, let's just share my problem. Yeah, that's true.
She B R I brings him in. She brings
him
in.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very good. Wow, you are very smart. You really see things that some people just overlook, you know.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. O, most films, F, E, A, features don't have that. C, O, N, content. And the fact that you fit it into this short 15-minute piece, most features don't have that kind of content. W, I, with, L, A, layers.
Okay, layers of the actor, kind of like different.
Layers of meaning, layers of like stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was that minor character was so interesting.
Yeah.
It was so rich. There was so much richness in that.
Yeah, and that video was also again shot very guerrilla. I was down for no money. Also, again, it was just me, my girlfriend, and a couple of friends, you know, I think that, I don't know, what I'm saying is, you know, not having a huge crew, like, you know, when you think, you know, should be a movie done, these challenges, and these challenges brings more experience. I'm just talking, like, from a point of view of a filmmaker who wishes to learn more about their craft. I mean, that's the best way to go. I mean, yeah, you can go to school. You can, you know, learn, buy all the books about filmmaking and videos. But if you don't do it on your own, you know, you're not gonna go anywhere.
In reality, you don't have. You don't need school.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, what happened to me was school. I didn't go to like film school and finish, and I got my degree in film directing. I went to a community college, Los Angeles City College. My idea was, yes, to go to USC or UCLA. You know, I'd go to do the first 2 years and then transfer, you know, the whole thing. So I came here to LA and started going to school. I learned English at the same time, and I kind of like saw the way American people think is that they don't care if you have a degree. I'm talking like art wise, you know. They want to see if you can do the job. You can do the job, fine. You're hired. So what I did also, I had there was this seminar on DGA. They had a Brad Reiner, the director.
Rob Reiner?
The guy from, what's his film?
Sam Raimi?
No, no, no. Who did Family Man? What's his name? Rainer. Was something Rainer.
Rainer. Okay.
Okay. Well, he's a very famous director. I just can't remember his name. I walked to him after a seminar. I said, he went to New York University. You know, he did a short, blah, blah, blah. He did all this school. And he's like, okay, so when you started doing films, you know, did the degree, you know, did this to you? Did it make you a director? And he said, no. You know, what made me a director was doing, you know, films. And the school is great for context. It's true. You know.
Yeah. And EQUI equipment. In our case, it was a way to have equipment to use.
Exactly.
But I think now people can afford to buy
equipment. Yes, now it's
equipment.
Different. Yeah, now it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I did, you know, instead of going to USC or UCLA, I kind of like, when after realized that, I said, and then, of course, I had to take these general education classes, you know, like algebra, which I hate math. I didn't come here. I didn't travel thousands of miles to study math and all these classes that I want. So I just, like, you know,
What?
Brett Ratner?
Yes.
Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner. Yeah.
Okay,
So I, you know, I started taking classes, the classes that I knew could be important for me. You know, like each semester I went to the book and I said, okay, I want to take one or two cinema classes, and I take two for like I took psychology or a speech class, or I took some theater too, which is very important. You know, photography. So that really, you know, gave me what I needed actually to be a film director, you know, because directing is not just to have all the technical skills and the context, you know, it's all about real life, you know, when you go and direct an actor, you really have to know what you want to transmit and the feeling and you know, how to work that out, and that's something, of course, I it's not like I came here and I knew that, and I learned it because at the beginning, I was all technical. I realized that I was more of a director of photography, more than actually a director, because I was focused on all technical, and that wasn't like three to 4 years ago. I just said, okay, this year I'm just gonna study acting. So I took an intensive class of acting for to learn more about the actor, to learn more about acting, directing.
You have DEV developed fast.
Well, you have to think that I started when I was 15, so you have to multiply that, you know, 15, like I'm 28 now, so that's a much experience. Of course, you know, I started like a game, you know. It's fun, you know. It's fun to do what you like.
Because in that short, the one we've been talking about, the TE technical was the L least noteworthy or something, or the least strength of the movie? No, least what? The least. The SM smallest part? The smallest part.
Like it took a back seat to everything else.
It took a back seat to everything else. The technical took a back seat to everything else. U G A gave A gave the B I big P I picture of the P I C of the P O L I political and E C economic and cultural and then M made it personal and S M and small and he means small in a good way. You brought it, you gave this big picture and then you brought it all back to something that was personal and small that people could then have an emotional connection with.
That's right. That's that's a very good, that's very insightful. Thanks.
How was he to work with the guy with Down syndrome?
Oh, was like, you know, directing a 3-year-old kid. You know, in fact, he was 22, but his mentality was like a, you know, 3 to 4. My girlfriend helped a lot, kind of, you know, to keep him, you know, busy, and he was like, you know, very friendly. He was like, you know, training a kid, basically. You know, when he was hungry, he had to stop. Okay, let's act. And there was a scene. There was a scene that I remember when you know, when the mother leaves him to play with the other kids next to, with the neighbor, that the kids react to this, you know, guy, you know, who looks so different, and they said, "Oh my God!" You know, he laughs. He laughs, you know, very strong. And oh my God, that was the hardest. I mean, he was laughing all over the shoot, and that scene when he laughed, he didn't laugh. So we shot like 30 minutes of it, and then okay, I give up. We started shooting different scenes, and then I don't know what happens. He just, somebody said something funny, and he laughed. Okay, let's go back. You know, I just showed whatever we were that reaction shot, and I got it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want a R a role in one of his movies.
All right.
You want a role in one of his
definitely
movies.
Definitely will.
I have to make films to A C T. Oh, generally, the only way Frank gets to act in a movie is if he makes the movie himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's already giving me.
That he wants all right. to act, but
okay.
that's his experience. Yeah.
Okay. 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 I guess that's your rules. You know, we have to respect them.
But he doesn't want that. He wants to act in other people's movies. Uh-huh. Okay. That's what he's saying.
Okay, it's not like he only his movies.
No, no,
okay.
No. He's saying the only way he can get to act in a movie is if he makes it himself.
Ah, okay.
Don't
that's
come
why.
His way.
Okay, okay.
So he's saying he really wants to be in your movie so he can just be the actor.
Okay.
And it's your vision. It's your
you're
the director.
Well, I'm telling you, if you want to be in the next sequel, you are already in. So you're welcome. I don't know if you can travel to LA.
But that isn't that next weekend?
It's I mean, that's preferably.
Yeah, I think we can't do it that soon. Maybe like a project that's a little bit down the road, so we have a little more time.
Okay.
To,
okay. Yeah.
To
yeah.
set it up.
Okay. No problem.
I am. V, G. Going. We are going to be going to LA to perform. And we haven't set a date for that, but it'll be like in the summertime sometime.
Oh, okay.
So perhaps we could do something where we could, because we can pick when we want to do it. We could coordinate it with something you were doing.
Definitely, definitely. Mm. I mean, at a time, if the Jesus Will Survive series, you know, becomes more successful, you know, I'm sure I'm going to be shooting more of that. You know, the idea is to make this episode to see what the reaction is, and if people want more, you know, I'll do more.
Yeah. S. So. How? No. Why? Did you DR drive here to, why did you drive here to be on the show tonight?
Why?
Yeah. Because he did drive up from Los Angeles and we're in Berkeley.
That's
I am impressed.
Thank you. Why? Well, I mean, I really want to have the experience. Mm. I mean, this is the first time that's, since I got here, somebody asked me for an interview. I was impressed myself. and of course, you know, when I have experience, you know, and of course, you know, I like to try, you know, even though I don't know where I was going, you know, kind of like, I had an idea, and I'm very grateful, very, 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 very grateful to be here and hear your opinions. I mean, my God, I mean, I'm really impressed. You know, you see things in my work that maybe nobody else gave me that input. I'm really impressed.
It. S. E. E. Seems. Obvious to you? When he's watching it seems obvious to him, the things he's saying.
That's great.
Of course I have been doing your art for almost 40 years. So.
Okay, you have to learn from this guy. I mean, you know, that's something that brings me a thought of, you know, what's something, you know, okay, there's good things happening nowadays with the film industry and the internet, but also a bad thing happening at the same time, that there's a lack of content and they just, you know, there's so many shit around, so many shit around, and
yes.
You know, and eventually, yeah, the good films, you know, stand out because it has what he's saying, and if we can bring probably that into, you know, these videos, this new generation of video makers for the internet, that could be great, and you know, people will respect that.
They. Think people P O L I polish They think polish is what they're going for, what they should be going for. Is that what you mean? They think that polish is what they should be going for rather than content and depth.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you think?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you talking about like
kind of like the technical end of, you know, making it all
look a certain way,
sound just right?
Yeah, yeah.
Focusing,
but of course,
technical.
Yeah, I mean, but again, the story. Come on, the story, and is very important as well. Not only that. I agree.
Have you seen my movies? Have you seen any of Frank's movies?
I saw some. I can't remember like exactly what movie. But I saw that, again, you know, they're very flashy. You know, I remember when you told me about the flickering video. Mm. Yeah. I can't, like, exactly say, you know, which one I saw, but I see it.
F. I. Feisto. T. Took. How many years? Was it like 15 years? We made it in the 80s and Frank just edited it in the 90s.
That's great. It became a period piece.
Happened is we shot it with just like our video camera and stuff. But
is that online too? Is that?
That's online. Okay, that's the one that's like an hour, 50 minutes.
Oh, okay.
That's the most technically, you know, what... of any of them.
Uh-huh.
It's the least rough of the things we've made. And but we weren't that attracted to like renting editing time. And at that time we made it, that's really what your options were, because editing stuff at home was so completely unaffordable.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, someday you'll be able to afford editing equipment in your home. And we just, it was kind of like the years went by and we checked from time to time, and finally we found it when we could get Frank a computer with an editing setup.
Yeah.
That's how he edited it.
That's great.
D. And then the editing setup died when he finished the movie.
The editing setup died? The system?
Yeah.
You could never figure out that the computer wouldn't ever function.
Were you able to take it out before the computer died?
Oh, yeah.
We got the film, but it was like after we finished that film, like Frank wanted to do other things, and we couldn't get the editing equipment to work anymore.
Was it a PC?
Premiere?
I started from Premiere One. I remember it crashing all the time. I had to save like projects like every 4 minutes. And the thing is, if it crashed, I wanted to go back and it was gone. So I had to rename it a different file. So that way I had to...
God.
Oh, it's like a crazy, but yeah.
You have to trick. You have to trick it.
Yes. Yes, that's on any... Exactly. You have to find a way, the back door. You know, that's why, you know, some people learn with the manual, some people just learn... you know, the try and error.
I just... Frank is a just doer. He's a trial and error guy.
Yeah, me too.
He doesn't read the manuals. Yeah. He gets Mikey to read the manuals.
Okay. All right. He's a smart guy.
On, in, H, I, high, in high school, I, R, E, A, read, the, how, to, M, how to make, films and get and how to W write screenplays, but you didn't have money to make movies. Then I then I W E A Z Z weaseled my way into a film a film course in New Mexico. Five months. 5 days a week, full time for 5 months.
Good.
For A N anthropology. It was for people anthropology filmmakers.
Oh. Wow.
But after you finish the course, I S T I still did not have money to make films. He came up with what he called the non-film.
The non-film, what is right here. The one you do it here,
would,
right?
He would say to people, I want to make a film, and he would ask people if they'd be in his film, and he'd have whatever the idea was for the film. He said, but the thing is, I'll never actually film it. We'll, like, do it, but we'll never film it.
Wow.
And people did it. So he made a bunch of non-films during that period.
That's Wow. It's like it became like a theater plus a learning experience.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have any audience actually watching?
Audience? It would just be you and the person that was in the film with you, or people that were in the film.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like had also some shorts done, but I never finished editing. But again, I did it for experience, you know, and yeah, that's what usually happens.
Then we did O B R. When we had a theater group then in the 70s, a community of people that also did theater stuff, and we did a show called The Outrageous Beauty Review in San Francisco at what was then like a hot club, the punk club, the Mabuhay Gardens, and we were the early show. It was supposed to be just one time. And it was so successful. The place was packed that the guy who ran the place said, make an announcement. It's a weekly show. So we did that for 3.5 years. That was a live theater piece. Got a lot of publicity. A lot of, like, you know, TV and movies and stuff like that. And a... Oh, okay. So, and then this producer shows up, this movie producer, and he says, Frank, I want to produce a movie based on any idea that you come up with, and I'll produce it. I'll get the money, I'll get the actors, all that stuff. And Frank's, because he liked the show, and Frank said, okay, but the only thing is that I want to be able to direct it.
Okay.
And the guy said, no problem, no problem.
And?
So we spent like a year, and it's like, you know, big money. He's like paying for us to go to L.A., and he's setting up these auditions and putting us in hotels.
You had a script?
He hired a screenwriter, and we'd go to Marin County and sit in her backyard, and she'd talk, and she'd write things. Frank wrote treatment.
A treatment. And the screenwriter...
And then she was supposed to flesh it out and come up with the screenplay. And so we did that. We cast it in L.A., found an actress. And then the guy says, okay, I'm off to Florida to talk to my money people.
Yeah.
And he comes back to Florida, and we meet him in a cafe, and he says, I got the money. It was like a lot of money, I remember. Yeah. Like. And he said, you know, the only thing, Frank, is they, you know, they don't want to fund something that someone who has no directing experience is directing, so you won't be able to direct it. And Frank said, well, I'm not interested then. That was the only thing I asked.
And
the guy, like, freaked out, stood up. You'll hear from my lawyer. We did. Got a letter from his lawyer. Said, you can't use anything that was generated out of this project. And that was kind of the beginning and the end for us of that level.
Yeah,
like,
we
decided, who needs that? We'll just make it ourselves.
Exactly.
And that's what kind of got us into the movie thing, that experience.
Yeah. I mean, I learned that lesson too. I mean, not that high level, but, you know, the best way is to do it yourself. You know, if you're waiting for other people to, you know, to do things for you, that may happen, but it's not probably. You have to do it yourself.
Yes.
That's just how to start.
T. R I N G strings. There are strings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, in this case, you started a play which got you somewhere, which is fine. But it was a play, it wasn't a film, right? It wasn't a screenplay, right? What if you actually had a film which actually could be used as an example of to make it a bigger budget or to make another film, but you actually show your experience as a director? That's different, but what you started doing yourself, what you wanted to do, you know, because again, you know, a lot of people do things to make them be what they want to be instead of actually do what they want to do.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So. R U S Russ. Russ Meyers. You familiar with his movies? Russ Meyers, they're like all R rated R rated?
No,
movies?
I would love to see it. No, I haven't.
He was very popular like in the 70s. Uh-huh. He was known, he always had these big breasted women. And it was like nudity and sex and stuff, but it was all kind of, it was funny.
Like art.
It was art, yes. And he had a strong cult following.
Uh-huh.
And he always did everything himself. He always paid for it himself. He always did himself. So he had complete freedom, distributed him.
Yeah. Or go to Europe, right? That's the other.
S. So. He. M. A. Made. M. He made money because he didn't have any other people involved in it. It was all him.
Yeah.
S. So. H. O. L.
Hollywood.
O. Offered. Him. Oh, to, possibilities of making movies through the Hollywood system. He made one Hollywood movie. Oh, is that the, B, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. Roger Ebert, the film critic, wrote the screenplay for Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. And that was,
How did the movie then?
Yeah. M, B. Oh, it bombed, but B, because he, they,
changed
L,
everything.
Limited him.
That's not news. I mean, that happens a lot. I mean, look at the work of, you know, Stanley Kubrick, for example. You know, he didn't like the Hollywood system.
Right.
You know, like this film, Lolita. You know, it's just amazing. Every time I see this film, that film is he's advanced 30 years from the time I was made.
Yeah.
You know, and even though they really put a lot of limitation to distribution, you know, that's I think that's gonna change eventually, you know, because I mean it is kind of changing, you know, in Hollywood, you know, more people are getting more. There's more distribution for independent films, not only in theaters, but again the open door of the internet, and also rental services that you can, you know, rent a lot of different independent movies, and you can actually find their, you know, quality instead of just commercial movies, you know. I think the good thing is to kind of, for example, the kind of movies that I want to make someday is there is a mix of both, you know, commercial and content, you know, because I think that's the road to go.
Have people see come to you with opportunities based on seeing your work?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I got this production company from France, Europe one. His friend presented me for doing commercials and music videos. You know, thanks for the video going around the internet. That's mostly for work, and I got some scripts, feature scripts that I'm reading, to, you know, to give me opportunity to direct. Yeah.
Well.
But again, you know, even though I have that, I'm still doing things on my own, you know.
Right.
You know, that should be, that's my, you know.
Jay.
That's the way.
Oh. John. S. T. A. Sales? John Sales. Another example of somebody who finances his own movies.
Yeah. I mean, I'm expecting to finance my own movies, but, you know, that's good too, but I can't now. But I think, you know, it's a good way when you're at that level. Yeah, you should, you know. You know, you have to start from somewhere, you know, and, you know, doing projects is the first step, you know, to bigger opportunities, you know.
What is your D-A day job? D-A day? What is your day like?
What is my day like?
What is a typical day for you like?
Well, I work for this company doing video editing. That's my daily job. I do, you know, videos, you know, commercials for them. So I have my day job, and in between, you know, when I get home, I have my other job, which is, you know, developing my own projects and looking for contest to submit, and because I have my own equipment and editing, I you know, I can do you know, very affordable projects, and you know, at the same time, you know, get an opportunity to get my work out there. So yeah, and then the weekends, go to movies, you know, spend time with friends, and I go to Argentina once a year. You know, we see my family, as you know, it's very important, you know, to go there and put your feet under the ground and see where you came from.
The rest of your family stayed in Argentina.
So.
I. Even. Like. Your. T. E. Test. What was that? They had a test piece in the video you sent us. Do you remember what that would be?
So I did send you the ones that I from my early work. Did I send you the DVD with my early videos?
It was like, it's music videos, and then it's commercials, and then there's commercials that are non-English.
Okay.
And then there's the short movies, and was that everything?
Oh, yeah. I know what he's doing. Yeah. I didn't send you the early videos. I have a section where I did like two or three pieces as a test music video, where I put an actress and kind of like put is a model, and I put into music. You know, I did some editing with that. Like he's referring to that.
The G. I.
The girl.
Girl.
With the flower.
With the flower, on. The. S. Street.
Yeah.
No, on the S T.
Stairs.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yeah, that's the girl. Yeah, it was an exercise that I did. For a model, you know, she needed like different looks, and I just, you know, I put her into music, you know, and what I did, I got a soundtrack, and then I just put the video in the soundtrack to fit, you know, that's basic what you do, and when you do, yeah. I know you said you did it the other way around, but you know, that's how I do my own, you know, I do it.
I. Did that too?
Yeah, you did that too.
P O L I C police. Oh, at the end of erotic play. Okay. Is that what you mean? Right, that we were trying to figure out what music to use to end this movie Erotic Play, which was the documentary of when people came over to try on costumes and stuff. And Frank took the police song, I'll Be Watching You. That's on every song. And that was kind of a music video of sorts. Yeah. And that's how we ended the video.
There's a music video there too. I remember it's called RSVP, which is about this couple trying to kind of like they're going different places.
Yes.
Here, you know, he's like they're walking by and they don't see each other. And there's a scene in the supermarket. I remember what I did there, that was like the first year I moved in here. So you know, the question is how did I got to shoot in the supermarket? So what happens was I had no experience, you know, here with permits or nothing. So this is a funny story that happened that I walked into the supermarket expecting them to let me shoot. Of course, they said, no, you have to ask for a permit. You have to call, our main office, you know, blah, blah. It wasn't down in Santa Monica. And I said, okay, can I have the number of this supermarket? Okay, he wrote the phone number of the supermarket. So I went outside. My actor got on the set, you know, I had my other actress come in and said, ready to shoot. I had no place, you know, to do the supermarket, so I said, okay, come here. Okay, call this number, say you are from the main offices of the such and such supermarket, and this person called, and you give permission to him. Okay, the guy calls. Oh. I said, hi, this is blah, blah, blah from some, yeah, I got a call from Javier, just call. Oh, yeah, go ahead, give him permission.
Oh, whoa.
There I was a king for, I actually, people, okay, stop shooting, you know, getting all my shots inside of the supermarket. That's great.
Ooh, how long were you in there shooting it?
Oh, like an hour. Yeah, wow. It was quick, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. The T-R, the trick.
Exactly. Take a real trick.
The trade.
Exactly.
The trick of the trade.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the H I H O R R the horror. The horror one.
Oh yeah, the horror one. Huh? Which one? Which one is that?
Can you say more about it? M U D mud no M U S music. It was one of the music videos
with a horror. Is it a music video or it was a drama scene?
Tattoos and like vampires.
Oh yeah, that's the one. Okay, yeah.
Describe that for people.
Devil 69. That was a music video, also one of my training videos I did in Argentina. A friend of mine had a band, kind of like very heavy metal. It's very similar to Marilyn Manson music, and I, one of my trips, I went to Argentina. We shot this video. And I just made a story about this underground bar, under a real bar, and they have this gothic bar in the bottom, and basically they are vampires, and they have this girl, this blonde girl, sneaking into this underground bar, and you have all these crazy people who have this contract between gothic and this blonde, kind of like getting in there, and then there's this gothic girl, kind of, she's lesbian, and she starts. You know, right? And the blonde girl likes it. Well, have you seen the Spam Free or Die music video? Spam Free or Die?
Spam Free or Die? Just, do you remember it?
Oh, email spam. Yes. Yeah. That was the last one I did. That was my hardest, talking about editing. If you remember that, that was my hardest thing I ever edited, because you have like, I have cuts like are maybe 2 seconds long or 1 second long. Also, that video was also for a contest I did, which won the award. We had to make a music video similar to the Yellow Card contest, but this was the same method. You know, I had to make a music video using that same song, and. So it's called Spam Free or Die. The music was done by the tribute band of Green Day. They have a name called Green Week, and that's something, you know, if you're gonna show it, probably that was very hard to edit, and that was fun to do too.
Your T U R turn M to I N T E R interview. Oh, it's your turn to interview Frank.
All right. Okay, here we are with Frank Moore in a webcast from Louvre.com. Yes. Okay, Frank. What time is it? Oh, I don't know. Well, first of all, I'm very, very impressed for how much you know about filmmaking. I'm just amazed. I think it's great. How you develop this craft, and you know, the way you take it to the next level, which is so professional. I mean,
how?
Yeah.
How does he do that? Take it to the next. Is that what you mean when you say that he takes it to the next level? That is so professional. How does he do that?
Well, I mean, the fact that, you know, I can tell by the way you talk about, you know, directors and you know, the techniques of filmmaking, the way you find things in films. You know, I think it's a way to demonstrate your knowledge. You know, and even though at the time that when you said you didn't have a camera, you know, you even did. That describes your love for filmmaking. You know, I hope, you know, that you know, you keep, you know, keeping that level. And do you have any scripts? Do you have a scripts or stories or treatments?
I am A. Make. I make them up. When you need them. He makes them up when he
okay.
needs them.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, then like, what we can do is...
O. You. Out. Of isolation. Let's see. What were the circumstances under why? How did you need that? G. A. Oh, right. A guy came to one of Frank's performances, uh-huh. and he was a director, and he wanted to do a project with Frank.
Uh-huh.
And so Frank sat down and wrote a treatment for okay. what turned out to be the movie we made, Out of Isolation.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And even though the guy, Gary, ended up fizzling out.
Yeah.
T. Tell. Well, they spent like, I don't know, a year or so where they'd meet every week and they developed this story. Mm-hmm. And then it came the point where it was time to audition to find an actress. Mm-hmm. And Frank was playing the main character. And the story is about a guy who was institutionalized his whole life, which when Frank was born, the doctors told his parents that he had no mental capabilities and that they should put him in an institution. But his mother said, when I look in his eyes, I don't see that. And so she had to fight the system all throughout. But he knew that as he grew up, that he, if she had not been that way, he could have been in an institution his whole life. So this is a movie about the guy whose mother didn't say no. And so he's in an institution, but he's as aware as Frank is. But no one's ever helped him develop a communication way, yeah. so he can't talk to people. And it's just like him in this room. The whole movie is him laying naked on a bed. Mm-hmm. And it's just the days repeating. Mm-hmm. And there's like, it's just yeah. like this. And he's completely withdrawn. And then this physical therapist who's kind of new and like this, you know, mm-hmm. comes in and she's determined to get something going with this guy. And it's about the relationship that develops between the two of them. And Out of Isolation refers to her as much as to the other character. She's very isolated, too. And through a series of scenes, they both open up to each other. They develop a physical relationship with each other. She'll come after work and mm-hmm. visit. And then she freaks out. It's like, what am I doing? You know, look at you. I can't be in a relationship with a guy like you. You know, you're not my level of person. And And because Frank's character really has nothing to lose, at a there's a scene where he just kind of breaks down and starts wailing, and that's where she cracks. And then the end of the movie is her just like falling into the bed with him, and they're like rocking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very important that the actress feel there's nudity and there's physical stuff. There's very important that she feel comfortable playing opposite Frank.
Uh-huh.
And felt comfortable with nudity. S. E. Sex. Sexy. Sexual. S. Scenes. Right. There were sexual scenes. So she had to feel comfortable with all that.
Yeah.
We had like one or two auditions. And there was nobody that was anywhere near somebody who could play the part. But Gary kind of felt like we just got to go with the best person we can get.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to keep trying to audition and find somebody. Like, when I see a cast, it would take us, you know, months and months and months. We would take a long time. We wouldn't do the movie until we found the right people.
Yeah.
And however long it took.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. so, but this was a situation where Frank was not going to be the director.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to be the actor in something. And so it was like Gary's project. So Gary said, we're just going to go with her. And so she kind of twisted the story. Mm-hmm. So for her, she kept looking at the window in the room and kept saying, someday I'm going to get you out mm-hmm. there. And it was like keeping her from actually looking at Frank
yeah.
and like developing, because the relationship was about the movie was about their relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so Frank suggested to Gary that he could board up the window for the next rehearsal. She never came back. That was it. She wrote them a letter and said, can't do it.
Wow.
But Gary left the project then.
Yeah.
It was like he was discouraged. It was like, oh, it didn't work. And he's like this. Whereas like with us, it was like, well, we got to do it ourselves. And we just kept looking and looking and looking until we found somebody who lived in L.A.
Uh-huh.
But we just drove down there for a weekend and shot the movie there and on a weekend.
Okay, so it's already shot. The movie is...
Yeah, the movie's on our website.
It's on our website. Oh,
Out of Isolation. Yeah, it's a very intense movie. It's very intense.
I would love to watch it.
B-L-A, black, and...
Black and white.
Frank was black and blue.
Oh.
Because we shot the movie in like 3 days. What we would do is we would just go through it from beginning to end 3 days in a row.
Uh-huh.
And in the movie, her character like does... This is stuff that really happened. Like she would do things like you rub ice on the person and then you take a brush and you kind of do this to try to get the circulation.
Yeah.
Or doing like the arm stuff. And Frank's character is resisting it. So he's kind of doing a lot of this. Mm. And so by the end of the 3 days, he was like a mess. His body was all black and blue. He was sore. And,
okay.
Because she really did it.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. Well, that's what it takes if you want to make it look real.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Does he have any more questions for you? Do you have any more questions for Frank?
I would like to know maybe how is your day? How do you describe your day?
Well, we're night people. So we don't usually go to bed till like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah. And except for Erica. Erica has a day job. And so we actually sleep on separate shifts. So Erica will go to bed, you know, tries for 1, but like last night it was 3. And then Erica will get up around 8:30 or so to go to work, which is when we're going to bed. So we see each other at that point.
Okay.
And then, so Mikey and I get up a couple hours before Frank so that we have daytime time to make phone calls and do errands. And Frank won't get up till like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Yeah. And then, he comes into the living room and we do emails. We read all, because I'll have gotten up and printed out all his emails. Mm-hmm. So we'll read emails and make phone calls and do all that sort of thing. Have a meal. That's when we watch movies, when we eat.
Uh-huh.
So we do Netflix.
Okay, yes.
And Frank's the guy who picks all the movies and keeps our queue and everything. So and looks all over the place for really neat movies.
Yes, Netflix is a great place for that. Mm.
So we'll watch, you know, we'll watch movies in increments. So we'll watch like a movie for 40 minutes while we eat, and then we have to wait until the next day because we watch some movies with Erica.
Uh-huh.
And then when Erica goes to bed, we have another meal. And so then we have another movie going. So we have two movies going all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll eat, we'll watch a movie, and then we get up. And so then it's about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
So you go to sleep around 10
No, we're just getting up from the living room around 10 p.m., and that's when we start working.
Okay, exactly.
So then we're, you know, that's Frank's computer, that's my computer, Mikey has his computer, and then Erica floats because she'll work with us.
Yeah, I love night too. Yeah. I mean, I get my most, you know, for writing, night. It's just so good. No interruptions, right?
Yeah.
And I get all my ideas. I don't know why, but while I'm driving, all of my ideas while I'm driving.
People freak out. We have that experience a lot. That people freak out when they hear that we're up all night.
Yeah. Well, it's just
why do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, like this.
I mean.
We found that we just drifted there.
Uh-huh.
It's like.
How long have you been,
Well, Frank and I have been together since 1975.
Uh-huh.
And then Mikey has been with us since 1988.
Uh-huh.
And then Erica for about 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so
since the beginning, you guys kind of like live this way at night.
No, no. It was really, really when we hooked up with Mikey. That's when it all changed.
What do you do to convince them? What do you tell them?
It's the best. It was just the dynamic. I think it was the dynamic.
That brings me. I have a synopsis for a feature script. Someday I may do. It's called Night for Day, which is a story about a guy who actually does that. He changes, you know, he's a regular guy, an office guy, you know, who has a normal life, you know, an office, you know, 9 to 5, has a family, and then one day, you know, he's tired, you know, and he starts to living nightlife. You know, he encounters a completely new world out there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds good. I don't know why Mikey,
why it started then,
because, well, it was after when he started working at home, that's when it started happening, because originally Mikey had a day job. But Frank was still staying up really late. But it was like when Mikey started working at home, it seemed like we just drifted. And for a while, we thought we should try to get back on a regular schedule. So we kept trying, and we'd get back on it, drift right back. And at a certain point, we thought, this is just what we do, and it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we just, you know, kind of figured out how to work it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think now he has that special moment where nobody phones you.
And it's kind of magical. Mm-hmm. It's all quiet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah. So maybe that's a wrap.
All right.
Yay. So, Javier Prato.
Yeah, thank you very
much. Javier Prato.
Thank you very much. And
website is?
Yes, website. Go to either javierprato.com, that's javierprato.com, or the upcoming jesuswillsurvive.com. They're both linked to each other, but definitely if you, anybody who sees this or are in LA or they want to come to LA next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to be shooting the sequel to Jesus Christ. So I need a lot of people to be part of it, and they're all welcome to join the shoot. So just write me, go to my website, find my email, write me, and I'll see if if you guys can come over.
And Jesus Christ the Musical isn't online anywhere. Can people watch it online now?
Yes, you just go to yahoo.com or Google. .com is everywhere.
Okay.
I mean, I'm putting together a website where I'm gonna have not only that but all of my videos, one that included on your guys' DVD.
Oh, great.
Everything's gonna be online. Great. That's the future.
If you email Frank the information about your shoot, he can send it out to his list because there's people in Southern California.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.